today is found in the book of the Acts, the 27th chapter, concerning Paul being shipwrecked. We find that Paul had made his defense before Agrippa and before Festus, and after they had heard him speak, they had a consultation together, and Agrippa said that this man does not deserve to be put to death, neither does he deserve to be in bonds. But where he has called himself upon Caesar, why, we cannot let him go. He will have to go then to Rome to Caesar. So it was decided upon then to send Paul to Rome to come before Caesar. And we find in this chapter that Paul was, with other prisoners, given unto one whose name was Julius. He was a centurion of the Augustus band, and they were placed in a ship together. This place where they were put into the ship was Caesarea, although it doesn't say here in this chapter, it was at the city of Caesarea. They then were placed in the custody of this Julius, and they set sail. And the next day they came to Sidon. Julius, he courteously treated Paul, and he let him have permission to go and visit his friends. He was a prisoner. He probably was chained to a soldier, but he was permitted to go, which I think Paul was very thankful to Julius for. This Julius, he probably had met another centurion in the city of Caesarea, namely Cornelius, who was a centurion of the Italian band. And he probably had conversed with him, and he had learned much of this man, Paul, through him, and therefore he treated him very kindly and gave him this permission. Paul then had to be back at the time that the ship was to sail. He was brought back then, and they got on this ship again, and they set sail. They were then going to sail to Rome, to Italy. And as they were sailing, why, the wind was contrary to them. They didn't make much progress. It went very slowly. And they decided that they would sail in between the coast of Asia and likewise between Cyprus. According to the commentary, the water in this area ran to the west. Therefore, the captain chose to go this way, which would help the boat to sail much faster, being the wind was against them. And now they sailed through this place, and then they continued on, and they came to a port called Myra. This place they stopped at. And here the centurion found another ship which was going to go to Italy, a ship of Alexandria. And they changed then vessels at this port, and all the prisoners were placed in this boat. And they set sail from this boat, from this port, to go on their journey. They had still the winds contrary to them. They didn't make much progress. They lost much time, and it took many days to go only a few miles. As you know, in those days, they had no boats like we have today. They had no motors. They had no steamships. They had nothing of the sort. They were depending upon the wind entirely to go wherever they decided they would go. And now they're going very slowly. And they pass by this great island called Crete. And they're coming to a place called Fair Haven. The name is very beautiful, but according to the commentary, this port was not so nice to stay in for the winter. The winter was coming on, and they were afraid of the storms that usually came down the Mediterranean Sea, and they decided that they would put up for the winter rather than sail in the sea to Italy. They came to this place, and this port is an open port. It didn't have anything to conceal the wind from the ships that would lay in the harbor. And they didn't fancy staying in this port. They were talking with each other about going a little further to a place called Phoenice, which was 40 miles further, and which was a beautiful harbor, and which had a cove in it in which the ship could be brought into, and they would be out of the wind and out of all the storms. And now Paul, he, knowing that it was very dangerous to sail at this time of the year, and that they probably would encounter storms, he, it seems, received from God some intimation that if they did sail, why, they would encounter much hurt and much damage, and probably would even lose their lives. And therefore, he came forth and he spake to Julius, the centurion, that if they were going to sail, then it wouldn't be for their profit, because, he says, they would suffer, probably, shipwrecked. They would lose the cargo, they would lose the ship, and possibly even lose their lives. This centurion, he heard Paul speaking in this way, but he also listened to the owner and to the captain of the ship. They were men that were accustomed to sail the seas, and Paul, he was no sailor, he was no mariner, and they did not listen to what Paul said, but listened to the captain and the owner. They decided that they would go to this Phoenice and put up for the winter in this harbor. And the next day, the south wind blew, and they, thinking that they would surely get to Phoenice because they had the wind with them now, and they probably said to each other, well, it's good that we didn't listen to this Paul, for now we'll sure get there. This, my hearers, is similar to what goes on under the ministry of the Word. This man, Paul, was a servant of the Most High God. He was anointed with the Spirit of God. He was given this revelation that this boat would encounter much hurt and much damage, and even the lives of some of them probably would be lost if they went ahead and sailed. This teaches us that God sends his servants unto us and commands us that we should not go on in our sins, that we should turn from our sins, and that we should seek God while we are yet alive, and that there is a Savior that is able to save us from our sins. This message comes to every one of us, and we receive this just like the centurion and like the captain and likewise the owner of this ship. We don't pay too much attention to it. In fact, we don't even believe it, because if we did, why, then we wouldn't go on any longer. We would run to a secret place and fall on our knees and seek God while he is yet to be found. How often has not this message come to you, my dear hearers, and what have you done with it? Has it acted upon your heart? Has it brought you in secret before God? Or do you just pass it off, as you've done probably year after year? These men, they didn't listen to Paul either. He was telling the truth. He knew what was going to take place, but they didn't believe him. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm sure there are many of you that probably believe me historically, but that is as far as it goes. As soon as you get out of this Bible class, it's gone. It has no effect upon you. Believe me, my hearers, you're journeying to eternity. You're a sinner. You have to meet God, and so do I. And I have to answer before Him for what I have instructed you in. And I would, with all love and all affection, command you to turn from your sins and to seek Him yet, while the door of mercy is still open. You know not what a day might bring. You know not whether you'll be alive tomorrow or not. Therefore, seek Him while He is to be found. Call upon Him while He is yet near, even in this word that I am bringing unto you. For He has no delight in any one of our deaths, but therein that we turn and live. And they went on, these people. And they sailed from this port, Fair Havens, and they decided that they would get to Phoenice. But soon after they had sailed, and they meant that they would soon be there, there came a very tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. This wind come from the east and the northeast. That's what the word Euroclydon means. It was then a northeasterner. It was getting near winter time, and this wind carried with it hail and snow and rain. This wind was something like a whirlwind, something like a hurricane. This wind caught hold of the ship. And when it got hold of the ship, they couldn't do anything with the ship. They just had to let the ship go on with this terrible storm that came down upon them. How many of you, my hearers, have been at sea in a storm? I've never been. I've been in storms in a rowboat, but I've never been in an ocean liner on the sea and encountered a storm. There may be some of my hearers that have been in a storm, and they have seen the wonders of God in the deep. When He makes the stormy wind to blow and the waves are tossed up on high, when we look at some of these ships lying in the harbor, then we wonder if waves could ever go over the top of them, but they do, they say. And I am sure if you are on one of these ships, you are very fearful in a storm. We know that when a tornado or a hurricane hits us on land, how terrible the desolation and the damage is that follows this storm. Wherever it goes, it picks up houses, it picks up cars, it picks up people. Everything goes along with it. We know that the wind has a terrific power. God is in the wind. Imagine being at sea then, in a vessel that was just with sails, no motor, no steamboat, just depending upon God who controls the wind to bring this storm to an end. This is what was taking place with this boat that Paul was on with the prisoners. They were caught in this storm. And yeah, just carried them along, kicked them around in the sea like a football. And they were very afraid that soon the ship would be smashed to pieces by the waves and they would go down to the bottom. But they tried everything to keep the boat going. And they decided that they would likewise take down the mast, take down the sails, and let the ship go without the wind blowing in the sails. They had rudders and they kept the boat on its course in this way. But the storm was terrific. And there was no let up. It got worse and worse. And this continued. And we find that they decided to lighten the ship. They cast over the merchandise that they had on the ship, that which they were carrying, the cargo. But rather than lose their lives, they'd rather lose this. There are many people that rather than lose their goods, lose their wealth, and keep a clear conscience and do what the Word of God tells us, they go on in their sins. They would rather lose God's salvation than lose what they have as concerning their wealth and their goods. But these threw everything overboard. The third day we find that to lighten the ship, the men, they threw the tacklings overboard, the utensils that they used on the ship. And then the ship continued on in this storm, in this way. And there were 276 people on board this ship. And now this ship was being tossed to and fro. They had no way of knowing which way they were going. And this continued on. And then soon, they became so afraid and they became so worn out, they weren't eating or drinking or anything, these people. They were just expecting the boat to go down. But they tried their utmost to keep it going. And now we find that they had no sun or no moon or no stars. They had nothing to go by as mariners use when they sail. And it got to that point that they had not seen nothing but this storm. And they began to be fearful of being saved. When all hope was gone of being saved, it says. This is where it came to with this ship and the people on board of it. This, what I've been speaking about, is the way that it goes with the Church of Christ. This ship is a type of a Christian or of the Church of Christ. Paul, he was a prisoner, and we by nature are all prisoners of Satan. We are captives at his will. But if we are the chosen people of God and we are the elect, there comes a time when the Lord delivers us out of the captivity of Satan and we become prisoners of the Lord. And now this ship, when it first started to sail, it made good headway. So it is with the Christian. When the Lord begins a good work in a person's soul, then they experience much of his love, of his nearness. They experience much under the means of grace. They have such communion and fellowship with God, and they are given so much faith to believe that they are his children, and they enjoy the presence of God immensely. They have many promises given them, and they mean soon to go from strength to strength and to appear before God in Zion. But now with this ship, soon the winds became contrary. They didn't make too much headway. So on the way to this heavenly shore of Canaan above, there comes after this period of first love, that the things begin to go contrary. We find that sin, the world, the devil, and our own evil hearts, they begin to become alive again. They have seemed to be under the feet, but they rise up. And when these things start, why then we find that we never expected this. It goes contrary to what we thought. And now a Christian, he begins to fight and to struggle against these things. He prays that God will mercifully bring these enemies under feet. And he finds at times much access, much nearness to God in carrying these things before him. We find likewise that this Paul, he had spoken to the captain and to the owner of the ship that they shouldn't make this journey because they could expect much harm and much damage to the ship and to their lives. And so now with one of these souls, they meet an experienced Christian, an aged Christian. And they begin to tell this aged Christian what they have been experiencing. And now this aged Christian begins to speak like Paul and begins to admonish him and say to them that they will have to lose everything that they have. That all this, what they have been experiencing, is no foundation for eternity. That they have to experience much damage and much hurt and much loss. And that they will have to even experience shipwreck. They will have to go overboard with everything. Do they believe it? Have you believed it? Has anybody spoken to one of you, my hearers, who are a child of God in this way? They've spoken to you and told you what would take place. But you didn't believe it. I didn't either. I thought I would go on in this way. If this was the beginning, what would it be if you continued on? But this is what takes place. It becomes a truth, what they have said. Although we don't believe it, the captain didn't believe it, and neither did the centurion believe it. And we find that soon after this, there came a terrific storm. This wind called the Euroclydon. This is what happened spiritually. Oh, you may have to pass through some terrible affliction, some bereavement, some loss. Maybe you might lose your possessions, your wealth, your standing in life. You may have to be brought down. Things take place in life. They aren't pleasant to pass through, to lose everything, my hearers. Oh, how sad it is when this takes place, especially with the Christian. All these things, they are storms in our life. And all when this takes place, my hearers, then we find likewise no access to God, no nearness to him. It says here in my chapter that when they had not had any sun or moon or stars for many days, this is a period that a person goes through. They don't have any sunshine, any rays from the sun of righteousness coming down upon their souls. They are in darkness, and they have no more promises. They have no comfort. Oh, they pray, they sigh, they groan, but nothing comes from above. It remains this way. And then the enemy sets in upon the soul and begins to tell them that they've deceived themselves, that they're all wrong, that it never was God's work. And now this can go on for a long period of time. Here it went on for almost 14 days, this storm. There may be some listening to me that have been for years already in this position. You have lost all your former comforts. You are so barren and so dead and so lukewarm under everything which was life to you before. And you begin to think, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I deceived myself. Maybe it wasn't true. Have you ever been there, my hearers? And when you begin to come to this place and your prayers don't find any access anymore, then you find probably rebellion rising up in you. Well, what's the use of going on in life like this? What have I got? I don't have any friends in the world. I don't have a friend in heaven. I can't find access to him. He don't listen to my prayers anymore. Oh, I'm going to be lost anyway. You know what that is, my hearers? It comes to a point where it was like in this ship. when all hope of being saved was taken away. Have you ever been there? And then if you have, you will experience what they experienced on board this ship. If you are one of God's dear children, he will come. He comes at the right time. He comes when there's no more hope left on your side. He may not deliver your soul, he may not save you, but he will give you much comfort. We find that these people on board this ship had come to this point when all hope of being saved was gone. This is an awful place to be at. And still, my hearers, it's a place where God's dear children come again and again. And there they experienced the faithfulness, the love, the unchangeableness of that God who began the good work in their hearts. And we find on board this ship that Paul, who had been helping them and struggling with them to try to keep the ship going, he was only just a prisoner, but God had brought this storm down upon the sea to glorify himself and to give Paul a great reputation amongst those that were on this ship. And now when they were in this condition, God came. He sent an angel down. God knows where his people are. God knows their names. God knows their condition. God knows the troubles, the storms, the anxieties, the fears that they have. And God sent an angel. And he spake during the night unto Paul, and said unto him, Be of good cheer, Paul, for you shall sure come before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all them that are with you upon the ship. And this was a message from heaven. Don't you think it was encouraging to Paul? Oh, what a wonder this must have been to this man. In the night, God came. And all he spake unto him and said, Be of good cheer. It is possible that even Paul had a lot of fears of whether the ship would survive or not. He was a man of like passions as you and I. But now when he received this, he was so strengthened, so encouraged. Oh, this God had come down and given him such assurance that it wouldn't go down the ship, that he would sure get to Rome and that he sure would be brought before Caesar. And he was given the assurance also that everyone on the ship with him would be saved. There would be no loss of life. How wonderful was this God in the midst of this storm, in the midst of all this anxiety and fear and trembling that these people were going through, for they had no hope anymore of ever being saved. And how wonderful that God brought his servant into the midst of these people. He gathered them together and spake unto them, this prisoner, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, sirs. How wonderful were these words. They didn't have any cheer. They weren't too happy. They weren't feeling so well about this. You can imagine if you were on board this ship, then to be of good cheer. How could you be of good cheer? If everything's going against you, and all things are rising up against you in life, things going contrary, then to be of good cheer. And the Lord only can give us to be of good cheer. And so he spake to them, Be of good cheer. For this night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I love these words, my hearers. This man, Paul, what faith he had. How he spake to the multitude on this ship. God, whose I am and whom I serve. It is true, we are all God's people, God's children in this way by creation. He has brought us forth into this world, and so he did Paul. But Paul had experienced a new birth. He had been regenerated by the Spirit of God. He had been stopped on the way to Damascus, and he had fallen in before him who spake to him, and he had said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" In this way, Paul had become also a child of God, and he belonged to God. He belonged to God from all eternity. He was one of God's chosen vessels. He was loved by God. And therefore he could say, "Whose I am." How many of us can say this? Would you dare say it? Have you got that faith to say, "Whose I am"? Do you belong to God or do you belong to the devil? Who do you serve? "Whose I am and who I serve." Oh, he came out for his God. In the midst of all this distress, he stood forth, proclaiming whose he was and who he served. Oh, my hearers, do you do this? In the midst of all what you have to pass through in life, do you reveal whose you are? And do you serve this one that Paul served? What a mercy to belong to him. What a mercy to be able to say, "Who I serve." You know, Paul often said, "A servant of Jesus Christ." He called himself this. You can read this in so many chapters. He came forth as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came forth here in this ship and spake unto these people and said unto them that he had said unto him, "Be of good cheer, for thou shalt appear before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are with thee in the ship. And now I believe God," he says, "that it shall be as he has spoken unto me." Oh, my.